So I read this scripture in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 because it's a very good example of individuals who were once idolaters, who were taken up with the things of the world, who had in their hearts the standards, the morals, the mindset, the ideology of the world, and God marvelously, through his grace, saved them. And what we read there in that first chapter is that the note is made of how they turned to God from idols. I want to ask you this question. When you think of the word separation, do you often, how do you think of that word when someone talks about separation? What goes through your mind? Okay, so you're not part of something, right? Separated. But the moment somebody says to you, well, you know, think about this. You're in class, right? And you're kind of struggling with math. And the teacher says, well, we're going to separate some of you all. Is that a positive? Do you have a positive connotation as to that word? Very often we don't. When we talk about separation, sometimes we have this very negative connotation that, well, here's one group, that those are the folks that need help with math, and here's the other group that doesn't. And they very often don't talk about separating the ones that are good with math, but we want to separate the ones that have a little bit of challenge. And the same thing with us as believers. When we think of this word or hear separation, we think very often of the word isolation, being by yourself. But that's not what the scripture has in mind. It has in mind that there is a power that's associated with being separate from evil. But it is not just I've moved from there to here, but that I am separated unto God. And the saints here, they got it. That the things that they were once attached to, young people, they said God has taken us from those things. But he has separated us or brought us or consecrated us unto himself. And then what did they do? Were they just like in a room saying, you know, we're separated unto God and we're singing some hymns? No, it says that those who were separated, they turned from idols to serve. There was an activity, young people, that an action that was going on with the saints here. And I believe one of the challenges for us as we look at the Nazarite tomorrow is that the Nazarite was not just someone who was denying certain things from himself, but the Nazarite was also someone who was active spiritually. And that activity first started in his or her heart. And then you could see that here was someone that was unique. And here was someone that had power that came from God. You see, separation is going to lead to power. One of the things that I often think about in the fellowship in which we are gathered practically is why is it that as young people, older people, we don't necessarily reach out in the way that we ought to? We say, well, you know, the Lord has given us a tremendous awareness, a deposit of truth through the history of the saints. And yet we should be out saying, here's the word of God. Here is, look at these wonderful truths and principles and standards that God has laid out for us. Oh, you know, just to be able to open up some of the Old Testament and see some of the wisdom of God, right? And yet we don't reach out, perhaps as other gatherings who may not necessarily, there are many who do, but who may not necessarily understand some things in the way in which we have been made to understand. And I've thought about this, is that part of the issue is that if we have not separated ourselves from things in the world, if the power that should be ours spiritually is not there, then it's very difficult to reach out, number one. Number two, if I am mixed up, even if it's on the fringes, of some of the things in the world. You know, when we're at school, and often we often talk about our behavior, our conduct, the things that we listen to, the thing, places we may be willing to go, and they're not necessarily things way at this extreme, but just slightly here. It's a little difficult after I've been listening to certain things or having certain kinds of conversations or laughing at certain kinds of jokes to say, you know, Sunday night we have a gospel meeting. And I want to invite you because you need to hear about the Savior. We're going to shy away from that because when they come, they may say, wow, this is a different Tony than what I knew at school. Or this is a different Tony than how he reacts when he's knocked down on the softball field. And so all of these things have an impact upon the power, the energy that we ought to have as believers. And that's why this thought of separation, young people, is very critical to the power, the energy, the vitality that we're going to have spiritually. We're going to see tomorrow that the Nazarite, there were certain things that he had, three things, and this was a voluntary vow. And that means, young people, that no one can impose it upon you. There has to be a desire in you and me to say, you know, I want to take up this vow. I want to by myself devote, commit myself to the Lord for this period of time. So that there would be this renewed energy, so that I would be connected in a very unique way to God, so that those who are around me will see, wow, there's something going on with so-and-so that I hadn't seen before. And so the Nazarite denied him or herself from three things that we'll look up tomorrow. Wine and strong drink. The hair was in the male was to grow long, no razor upon his head. I don't know if this means that myself and brother John Ajami can't do this any longer.
The Lord stopped.
The Lord stopped. And that's why it's not a literal Nazariteship today. We thank the Lord for that. But that is spiritual. What'd you say, brother?
I said I thought you finished your vow.
Amen, brother. My vow is done. And then the thought of the not just the long hair, but it was the wine and strong drink denial, the growing of the long hair, and the third one was what? Not being defiled by any dead thing. And this, young people, these three categories we're going to look at tomorrow are very, very important. They're very instructive to us as believers. Especially the one about the long hair. The wine we'll understand, but the long hair being under the authority of another and then not being defiled by dead things. And I believe that the saints here, in their infancy, it says they went from idols to serve the living and true God. And then I like this thought here that the Spirit of God pens, and to wait for his Son from heaven. You see, the occupation wasn't with the things on the earth. Oh, yeah, I'm sure that they had to go to school, they had to go to work, but it really was where their hearts were focused on.